Ja, ja, dat is beter. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Jai.
Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 18, text number 70 and 71? 72. Text number 72. Is this going to go on Facebook? No. Okay, so we'll first do the word for word, if you like. Please repeat. Yeah, 1872. In your book, that is page 856. So please repeat. Kachet, etat, shrutam, partha, tvaya, eka agrena. Chetasa kachit agyana samoha pranashtaha te dananjaya kachit etak shrutang partha tvayekagrena chetasa kachit agyana samoha pranashtashte dananjaya kachit etat shrutang partha tvayekagrena chetasa kachit agyana samoha pranashtashte dananjaya kachit etat shrutang partha tvayekagrena chetasa kachit agyana samoha pranashtashte dananjaya. Kachit etat shrutang partha tvayeka grena chetasa
kachit agyana samoha
pranastaste dananjaya kachit etat shrutam partha kayeka grena chetasa kachit agyana samoha pranastaste dananjaya kachit etat shrutang partha tvayekagrena chetasah kachit agyana samoha pranashtaste dananjaya kachit etat shrutam partha tvayekagrena chetasa kachit agyana samoha pranashtaste dananjaya. Okay, please repeat. Kachit, weather, etat, this, shrutam, heard, partha, O son of Prita, tvaya, by you, eka agrena, with full attention, Chetasa. By the mind. Kachit. Whether. Agyana. Of ignorance. Samoha. The illusion. Pranashtaha. Dispelled. Te. Of you. Dananjaya. O conqueror of wealth. Arjun. Translation. O son of Prita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Purport. The Lord was acting as the spiritual master of Arjun. Therefore, it was his duty to inquire from Arjun whether he understood the whole Bhagavad Gita in its proper perspective. If not, the Lord was ready to re-explain any point or the whole Bhagavad Gita if so required. Actually, anyone who hears Bhagavad Gita from a bona fide spiritual master, like Krishna or his representative, will find that all his ignorance is dispelled. Bhagavad Gita is not an ordinary book written by a poet or fiction writer. It is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any person fortunate enough to hear these teachings from Krishna or from his bona fide spiritual representative is sure to become a liberated person and get out of the darkness of ignorance. Om agyanati marandasya gananjana salakaya chakshuram militam yena tasmaya shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistang stapitang yena bhutale svayam rupakaramayam darati svaparantikam vandehang shri guru shri yuda padakamalang shri gurun vaishnavangcha shri rupang sagrajatam sagana raganatang vidang tang sajivang sadvaitang savadutam parichana saitang krishna chaitanya devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radha Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Vanshakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Kachit etat shrutang partha tvayeka grena chetasa Kachit agyana samoha pranashtaste dananjaya. So we're getting at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. One thing that I wanted to tell you before I start is that sometimes devotees say, and I think it's very nice, and I sometimes also say that, you know, I want to beg for the mercy of the devotees and this and that, and it's good, we should do that. It's nice. I just want to impress upon you that it's actually we already did that. You know, it's just we do it in Sanskrit. All these verses that I was just reciting, maybe I should just read you the translations. We don't do it so often, and they're very important verses. And they're not really all Bhagavatam verses, or they're not so well known. So I'll just read it to you. It's just nice. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes. This is read from page one. You have a preface and some chapters, but those are like with Roman numerals. So, but this is actually page one, introduction. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisance unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? This is actually one of my favorite verses. It's a very nice prayer. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangsha. That Sri Gurun is plural. Offer my respectful obeisance unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. So it's explained that here you offer your obeisance to the Guru and also to your Siksha Gurus, because that's why it's repeated. You know, Sri Yutapada Kamalam, that means the lotus feet of the Guru, and then Sri Gurun, and then Vaishnavangstya. So to all the Sikshagurus and to the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada didn't put it in a translation, because sometimes Prabhupada says that guru, it's a principle. So the Diksha Guru and the Siksha Guru, there's not really a difference between them. I just want to impress upon you that here they mentioned two gurus, and Diksha Guru is always one, and Siksha Guru can be many. So that is why one is singular and other one is plural. Offer my respectful obeisance unto the lotus feet of Srila. This is from the second sentence. Offer my respectful obeisance to the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami, as well as Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta. So this is Sahagana Raghunathan. This Sahagana means something, the two Raghunaths. And then it's, I think it also says that the two, let me see. Because then you have Raghunath Das Goswami and Raghunath Bhatta, and then you have Gopal Bhatta and Jiva Goswami. I forgot exactly the Sanskrit, but some other, they're all mentioned, you know, in this one sentence. So maybe we need to look at the word for word a little bit more. But it's not that Prabhupada is making up stuff. All the six Goswamis are meant in that line. Offer my respectful obeisance, unto, this is the third line, unto Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita, Charya, Gadadhar, Srivas, and other associates. So, Sadvaitam, that is Advaita Charya, Savadutam, Avaduta, Avaduta means Nityananda Prabhu, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Deva. I don't know exactly what that means, Parijana Sahitam. So, we have to look that up as well. But it means that it's Gadadhar and Srivas and all the other devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And then the last line, offer my respectful obeisance to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishakha. This is especially a favorite line of me because it honors Lalita Devi and Vishakha Devi, and they're here with us. So we don't honor them so much. With prayer, specific prayers, but in this prayer we do. Sri Radha Krishna Padan, the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and Sahagana, and also Lalita and Sri Vishakha. So that is very nice. Okay, next one. Oh, my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed, Karuna Sindhu, and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. Offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold. Gaurangi, Gaurangi. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gauranga, because he's in the mood of Radharani. And Radharani's color is gold, Gaurangi. Anga means limp, and Gaura means gold. It is even the same word, Gaur, gold, it's the same. So Anga is... Someone, you want to say something? No, oh, sorry. Gaurangi. Ishvari. It is actually very funny. I said this last time, I think. Somebody in Vrindavan said it. I don't know if it's completely bona fide, but it made me really laugh and makes me more attached to Vrindavan and Krishna and Radharani, so I'll tell it to you anyway, even though take it with a grain of salt. So you're saying, because sometimes you've been to Vrindavan? So it's a little bit chaotic, no? So some devotee was a little bit thinking like that, and she was saying, like, well, I mean, what do you expect, you know? Talking about Vrindavan being chaotic. What do you expect? I mean, because that's what it means, Vrindavan Ishvari. It means she's the Ishvari, the controller of Vrindavan. Here you have this 14-year-old girl, and she's madly in love. So, you know, what do you expect? There's not going to be, like, super organized management, you know? So I thought it was very funny. Anyway, but, you know, I don't know if it's completely bona fide, but I thought it was nice. Offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold and who is the queen of Vrindavan. Yeah, so we have to be a little bit careful that we don't become sahajas, we take it cheaply. Here she's called the queen of Vrindavan. Prabhupada is always very serious when he talks about Radharani. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. And then this one is also very important. Offer my respectful obeisance to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone. just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen souls. We should actually realize this, that devotees are actually, you know, like I know some couple and they call each other Vansha. Hey, Vansha, can you help me? Or because the devotee is really a Vansha. He can fulfill all desires. It's a Vansha Kalpa. Kalpa means tree. So we should understand that the devotees can actually fulfill all our desires. Like one time I was thinking of, what is it called? These American things, you know? Like when you win a tennis match, they call it a beagle, but they also call it like, what's that American thing that all the policemen eat? Donuts. So I was thinking, I want to eat a donut, you know? And I know, I mean, I generally, I don't try to eat karmic grains. So I knew the only donut store in the world is in New York. And then some other, we had this Randes Melos, and somebody flew over from New York. And I just thought it like 2 or 3 days before that. And she was saying, hey, I have some donuts. You want one? And I was like, wow, yes, please. So she gave me a donut from the donut shop in New York. They were a little bit stale, but, you know, it was still a donut. I was like totally in ecstasy. So it's amazing. I had a desire, and some other, this devotee, fulfilled it. I'll never forget it. Anyway, so we should really understand that devotees can fulfill all our desires. You know, actually, they can fulfill it. Like this is a not super Krishna conscious desire. It's kind of a stupid desire. Still, got fulfilled by a devotee. And then the last two, well, last one in one sense. Offer my obeisance to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasa, and all others in the line of devotion. And then Hare Krishna, that Prabhupada says that means, oh, energy of the Lord, oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead, source of all pleasure, please engage me in your service. I'm sure there's other translations because it's such a powerful mantra, Maha mantra. That is generally the translation Prabhupada gives. So I just wanted to impress upon you that these mantras, they are there for auspiciousness. And having said that, I want to ask for the blessings of all the devotees so I can give a nice class. But it's not necessary to say that. That's my point, because actually we already do it by saying these mantras. But it's always nice to do something extra. Okay, so what I liked about this verse, a few things I liked about this verse, especially the purport. I mean the verse and the purport, because Prabhupada explains it so nicely, and you can really understand how humble Lord Krishna is, especially this sentence, you know. Well, first Prabhupada says, I'll just read it again. The Lord was acting as the spiritual master of Arjuna. Therefore, it was his duty to inquire from Arjuna whether he understood the whole Bhagavad Gita in its proper perspective. So that is pretty straightforward. But then Prabhupada said, if not, I thought this was very sweet. The Lord was ready to re-explain any point or the whole Bhagavad Gita, if so required. I mean, it's almost, I think it's hilarious, you know, because you got, this is the picture. So you got the whole army standing there, two armies, they're ready to fight. And Krishna was ready to re-explain it, the whole thing. Another, what is it, 2 hours? You did Gita, what is it called? Gita Jayanti? Huh? 2 hours and 48 minutes? Oh, 48 minutes. So Krishna was ready again, you know, 48 minutes of Bhagavad Gita. You know, that he was ready to do that. And another, so that I thought it was very sweet, you know, that Krishna was like, I don't care about all these guys waiting here, they can just, you know, they can wait a little more. Arjuna has to understand this first. So I thought it was very humble of Krishna. And another thing that also is stressed after that, I can read it again. Actually, anyone who hears Bhagavad Gita from a bona fide spiritual master like Krishna or his representative will find that all his ignorance is dispelled. So here's Prabhupada, he's writing the purport, and he's specifically instructing us, and he does it actually in, as far as I remember, many purports, that he says you need to learn this, not only Bhagavad Gita, also Srimad Bhagavatam, from a spiritual master, or as Prabhupada says, a bona fide spiritual master. And generally a bona fide, because bona fide, I'm not 100% sure about the word, but there is something in the word bona fide that you need to be authorized also. You know, there's like a seal of quality on it, like this is a bona fide product, and because it has a, so you know, that is kind of the disciplic succession. Because you can have spiritual masters, and they can be really good, but it also needs to be a bona fide spiritual master. He needs to be actually authorized by the disciplic succession, in other words, by his spiritual master. I think that is one meaning that you could make from this bona fide. Of course, the main thing about bona fide is that he has to just repeat what Krishna says, but that is what a spiritual master does anyway, in one sense. Because otherwise he's not really a spiritual master. Because spiritual master means, because what is spiritual? Krishna is spiritual. The soul is spiritual and devotional service is spiritual. So spiritual master, someone who explains who you are and you know what you have to do, which is serve Krishna and how to do it. That's all there's to it. Because we were talking the other day that you don't really need to read the books. And it's true, because the gopis, they don't really need the books. They don't read them. The books are mainly also for preaching. Or, as Prabhupada sometimes said, if you don't chant Hare Krishna, then you have to read the books that you understand that you need to chant Hare Krishna. So you need to know three things. Who am I? That Krishna is God, because you can't even really understand who is Krishna, but you should at least understand that he's God. Or maybe you should at least... Maybe you don't even have to understand he's God, because the gopis also don't understand that he's God. You have to understand that you have to serve him. But I'm Krishna's servant. I have to serve Krishna. And then you have to know how to serve him. And that's why you need a spiritual master. Because he can train you like that. Because that is in the spiritual world also. You have a whole authority structure coming down from Radharani, basically. And they're telling you, that like your direct authority is telling you how to serve Krishna. Like maybe you have to do garlands. So like for instance here, we're actually here serving Krishna. This is the spiritual world. So you have a head pujari, and then the head pujari decides who is dressing Radha Gopinath. And generally the person, I don't know exactly how it works because I never dress really the deities here, but I know a little bit. And then generally the person who dresses Radha Gopinath, he or she decides what kind of dress they wear. And then from that, all the other dresses are kind of chosen. Because the other deities have to match up, generally, with the color that Radha and Krishna are wearing. And then from there, also the garlands are chosen. So the pujari tells then the garland maker or maester that we need a white garland or we need a red garland. And then the person in charge of the garlands, she tells, you know, usually it's girls, that... You know, we need a white garland. So it's a whole authority structure, you see. So you come into the flower room and then you think, I'm just going to make garland, but it doesn't work like that. You need to ask which color, because otherwise it won't. So that's how it works in the spiritual world. So that in one sense, you could say that it's not really your spiritual master, but it's your authority. So in the spiritual world, you're also going to have an authority that tells you how to serve Krishna. It's not very difficult, right? So, anyway, the point I wanted to make that I took from the purport is that we need a bona fide spiritual master to explain Bhagavad Gita. Because Prabhupada is already explaining it in the purports. Still, you know, Prabhupada could just say, you just need to read my purports. And that's it. But he doesn't say that. He say you need to hear Bhagavad Gita from a bona fide spiritual master. So you know, I'm not really a spiritual master, but I'm maybe a spiritual student. You know, I'm trying to become a master. Because a master means that you've mastered it. Like, you know, I felt when I was in Radhanath Swami's class, I really felt that he was a spiritual master. You know, that he really mastered the science of Krishna consciousness, that he could explain it really well. And that he realized it himself. That's how I felt, at least when he was here and he explained the philosophy. So that's really, you know, in my book, it's really a spiritual master, you know. And, you know, basically all the spiritual masters in ISKCON. It was just when I saw him that I really realized what it meant to be a spiritual master, because he was so expert in explaining it. So, but as far as I'm concerned, basically all the spiritual masters in ISKCON. Although some, I mean, it's a position, so you need certain qualifications to be called a spiritual master, and maybe somebody can be, you know, because that sometimes also happens, like a new spiritual master, somebody who's not like super experienced yet. So he's considered a spiritual master, but you know, like somebody like Prahlada Maharaj, he knows all the Bhagavad Gita verses. That's like a real spiritual master, like a heavy, as we say, because guru means heavy. Heavy with knowledge. So he's a real heavy spiritual master, you know, he really knows a lot. So somebody who is like maybe 20 years younger than him, he might not be so expert yet. Anyway, that is just how I feel about it, that you know, you need to hear this from a spiritual master who can explain it to you. And it's there are some degrees, but people, that's generally the rule, is that the person who speaks Bhagavad Gita, like I'm now doing, like I'm giving a class, he should be at least initiated. Because that I explained last time, the essence of Bhagavad Gita is basically that you have to take initiation from a spiritual master. That is 434, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. So if you haven't fully realized that, then that means that something is kind of missing in your realization. It might just be a matter of time. That's why we sometimes allow people that are not initiated to give class, because they actually do understand it, and it's just a matter of time before they do take initiation. But that, at least in the beginning days, because in the beginning days also generally you would get initiation after 6 months. That was the standard. And Brahman initiation after a year. So giving class as a bhakta meant that you were just two, three months in a temple. And now you have bhaktas and they're like 5 years in the temple. So of course they can give class. But still, that was Prabhupada's standard that he gave. But sometimes you have to take things in context. But it's still, I think it's still an important point to take into account, that at least this understanding should be there with the person who gives class, that you do need a spiritual master. Because, you know, like I explained many times, like in a university, or one of the best examples is a lawyer or a doctor. You can study lawyer, and you can even go to the university and being a doctor, but until they allow you to practice lawyer, you're not really a lawyer. And it's the same with a doctor. You need to have a special permission from the government, otherwise you're not really a doctor. So similar, it's with the spiritual master. You need to be authorized. And in the way our acharyas build up that system, as far as I'm concerned, is that you need permission from the GBC. And I think that's why it's working. Because, you know, it's like 30, 40 Vaishnavas who decides who is very learned. That's ultimately what a spiritual master is. Not only learned, also who practice what he has learned. And then they decide. And sometimes it goes wrong. You know, spiritual master, or maybe we should say so-called spiritual master, he gets some trouble or whatever. And then the GBC says, okay, that, you know, you shouldn't, you know, present yourself anymore as a spiritual master. So I think that's why it works, you know, because the Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta also wanted this, that he started the GBC. Anyway, it's a little bit of a controversial topic, and I don't think it's very important in one sense. I mean, in one sense it's essential, but in another sense it's like I said, you need a spiritual master. You need, like, you go to university, you need a teacher, and you pay some money, and you have to ask the teacher, like, you know, I don't understand what you said. You can't go challenging, that doesn't work. So ISKCON is not an exception in that. Okay, I leave some time for questions. So is there any questions on this? Or comment?
No, it's a question. So yeah, I was just wondering, like you said, practically speaking, for example, we have these evening classes, and most of the time it's people that are not initiated to give classes. And to be honest, when we actually do service of like searching for somebody who does, like who is initiated to this class, most of the time you hear, no, I don't have the time, I don't have the time.
Yeah. No. Right. Now, it's good you raise the point, but I thought I kind of did that because I explained why Prabhupada said it, because Prabhupada has said that. And, you know, like I said, in those days, it was 6 months you were initiated. So it meant that, and generally we don't allow people who are 3 months in the temple or even five to give a Bhagavad Gita class. Right? So I think that's what Prabhupada meant. I mean, he meant, that because that's what I was trying to explain. He also meant, and I think that it's good you raise the point, but I think that most, if not all, the people who do give class and are maybe not initiated, they understand that actually at some point in time I do need a spiritual master. So that was kind of the point I was making, that at least that kind of consciousness should be there. Yeah, and for Brahman initiation, you need to have Bhakti Shastri. It's like obligatory. You can. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what the standard is now. I think it's not 6 months anymore. It's at least a year. It's at least a year. Yeah. So they upgraded it a little bit. Wow. Yeah, Bhakti Vikasi has another whole list of things. Yeah, I might as well, you know, throw in my white Brahmin thread, you know. Yeah, no, it's not good, of course, to watch television. We all know that. It's basically a waste of time. You know, and it means, I think if we do it, that we're not really very nicely engaged somewhere, which is very difficult. I think that goes too far. I think association is explained by Rupa Goswami. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And it's these six exchanges of love. Tadati pratigrinati, you know, is giving prasadam, taking prasadam, revealing your mind in confidence, and taking confidential instructions, and giving gifts and receiving gifts. And even with those things, I mean, I was with my grandmother, and some devotee told me, you know, because I was like, I bought like 6 breads, and I was like, I'm only going to eat the breads. I'm not going to eat the karmi prasadam, you know, from my grandmother. And then, you know, actually it was the wife of Najibihari, you know, wife, and she said, no, don't do that. Because it's an exchange of love, and it's the only way how she can show her love to you. So don't be too strict. So I didn't, and it became very nice, you know. Thank you. Became very nice. And I felt a little bit bad about it, but I just did it for her, so she felt nice about it. So, but it's not so good to do that, but even there you can maybe sometimes, you know, not be too fanatical about it. And sometimes I also receive gifts from my parents or things like that. You can say, no, you're a non-devotee, I'm not going to accept this gift. And sometimes I also give gifts, like to my brother, I bought him like a football. I mean, it was a non-leather football. It was his birthday. I thought I'd buy him a football, you know, because that's what he liked. And therefore, I got a really good relationship with my brother. But those things are actually called association, and those things should actually be done only with devotees. Prabhupada actually said that we made ISKCON specifically to have these six loving exchanges. So, I mean, it's bad. Definitely, television is bad. But I wouldn't go so far as to say that it's association. Although, it depends on what consciousness you do it, I guess. If you take it as gospel, then you could say you're taking, you know, what is it called? You know, confidential instructions from the television. Then you could say that it is. But I don't think most devotees take it very serious. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Vishnumurti said, they're blowing 150 million at your eyes. These Hollywood movies, someone there cost 150 million. Don't think you're not going to get affected by it. You know, it's powerful stuff, you know.
Thank you.
right. Yeah. Well, that's a very good question, and the answer is a little bit long. I'm really sorry for the bhajan, but this is an important question. One of the things what I understand about spontaneous devotional service is that you get really enthusiastic about, for instance, getting up from Mangalartik and things like that. You get really enthusiastic about serving Krishna. And the other thing, and it's maybe not completely so super bona fide, because I don't really have it from Prabhupada's books, but it's from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I think it explains it very well, is that there was this gopi, and she gave this letter to Krishna from Radharani, this note, and then she wanted to leave the room. And then Krishna, she gave her this look, that he wanted to have something conjugal with her, you know. And this girl said, no, I have to go back to my mistress, to Radharani. I cannot do anything now. I have to first get this note back. And the point is also that, you know, this is why Tulsi Devi got cursed, because she was dancing with Krishna and she didn't take permission from Radharani. So, you see? And that is also the rasa, that this gopi, Krishna is like, he can attract anybody, especially girls. And this girl was saying no, because she felt that she was duty bound by Radharani. And that makes it extra relishable. No, I'm not disagreeing with you that your example is all right. You can take some flowers, but it has to be ultimately within this. There is this structure, which is what I just explained. It ultimately, there is this room for, like, I don't know if you want to call it raganuga, but it's like, yeah, you could call it. It's just a spontaneous act of love. The room is there, but still you always work under an authority. That's why we're. That's my understanding. That's why we are here. Because somehow or other we messed up. You know, but it's another discussion, but that's how I understand it. That there's always this independence that we cannot do that. But there is a structure, like I explained with the garlands. That's why I asked, is it very difficult to understand? Because they make garlands for Krishna in the spiritual world as well. And it's exactly the same. Not exactly, but more or less the same. Mother Yashoda is dressing Krishna, and then Radharani makes garlands, and, you know, like that. There is a whole way how they do things there. Yes. Yes. That is true, and unfortunately, I must say that it should be like that in ISKCON. Actually, it should be all based on love, and I want to serve the other. But unfortunately, we are conditioned, and sometimes we fall back a little bit. And look, you know, stuff needs to be done. You just need to do what I say. But it's just, you know, we're working on it. But that is a good point. You know, it's all based on love, and that's what I explained with this example. This gopi, her love for Radharani was just so big that she was somehow able to refuse the love that Krishna was having for her. Okay, last point.
Two questions.
No, we don't have time for two questions. We need to go. I'm sorry.
So, approaching a spiritual master, does that mean the same as initiation? Or like when Sukadev and Panchi were sitting together,
yeah, that's a whole discussion. The
Does approach a spiritual master already mean taking initiation, hearing from a spiritual master, or is that not enough, hearing from a pure devotee?
Yeah, that's a whole discussion. I don't think we have time for that now.
Okay.
I mean,
one more. If somebody can speak the whole Bhagavad Gita, from the head, you have the whole Bhagavad Gita in the head, does that mean that they have
No. No. And this other talk, I think for you to know, I mean, because you are in ISKCON, that's how we settled it up in ISKCON, that you do need to make it official. But your question is general, and in general, like this is like 5,000 years ago. That is a discussion. Divya Gyan, that's what it means, Diksha, giving knowledge. That's the essence. But in ISKCON, we made it like an official thing. But it's a whole discussion. But that needs to be there. That's a fact. If there's no Divya Gyan, if there's no transference of knowledge, then it's not good. But the how do you say it? The formality also needs to be there. Anyway,
in ISKCON,
that's how we settled it up in ISKCON. No, I'm just saying. Well, that is a whole discussion, but I'm just saying at least the transference of knowledge needs to be there, because that's what you're saying. Yeah, I'm just giving you the essence of the answer. The essence of the answer is Divya Gyan needs to be there, no matter what. Okay, sorry, Manu. Won't happen again. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, ki jai. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ik moest het toch even doen, hè?